to our Lord in prayer.
Heavenly Father, blessed be your name, because you have blessed us in so many different ways, especially in transforming our lives. Every day is filled with incredible opportunities to share your love with others. That takes a transformation within our own lives, within our own self, to be willing to share that good news. Lord, transform us so we would not conform to the pattern of this world. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, going to the Iowa State Fair in Des Moines, Iowa, every August was something I looked forward to when I was a child. I had to smile because I was just back in Des Moines this past week and actually drove by the fairgrounds. The Midway had all kinds of fun carnival rides. There were corn dogs. I think the State Fair in Iowa originated food on a stick. You know, bacon covered chocolate, that'd be good too, but chocolate covered bacon. And there was cotton candy you could find just about everywhere. You would see all these displays and all kinds of entertainment to take in. But being the Iowa boy, of course I enjoyed going to the agriculture building where they had fruits, vegetables, the infamous butter cow, if you've never heard of that, and all other kinds of things that grew that were on display. Now every year they'd have these massive watermelons, not as big as the ones I saw in Alaska, but some other oddly shaped plants that would grab your attention. But one year, the Blue Ribbon winner was something quite unusual. It was a pumpkin that a young man had grown in the shape and size of a Coca-Cola bottle. I searched the internet trying to find a picture of the actual one, but I struck out. Now, people were kind of curious, of course. How in the world did you grow a pumpkin in that shape and in that size? As he received his blue ribbon, you probably know this, but he shared his secret. When he said he had put that pumpkin inside the glass Coke bottle when it was still tiny, and then let it grow inside the bottle. As the pumpkin grew bigger, it conformed to the shape of that Coke bottle and the size. And when the time came to finally cut away the Coke bottle, the pumpkin kept its shape, and he had a blue ribbon prize-winning State Fair entry. Well, let's consider a Coke or a Pepsi bottle. I don't know which you prefer. We heard earlier from Romans chapter 12, that the Bible says to no longer be conformed to or following the pattern of this world. So let's have a Coke bottle like this represent the pattern of the world that you and I live in. Now please don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying you should not drink Coke, Pepsi, or the multitude of other soft drinks that are available. There was a time in my life I drank way too much of them. I'm getting at the values, the influences, the way the world pushes us towards doing things that maybe our Lord isn't so fond of. In other words, the way in which the world we live in literally shapes our lives. Instead, as we heard, we are to be transformed or changed by God's mercy. Let's have the cross represent the pattern of God's mercy, or how he literally deals with each of us in his love. So what shape are our own lives taking? How are we being formed? Which of these two ways most resembles the way that we live our lives? Now, I'm sure all of us would love to say, well, of course, it is the cross that is transforming our lives. But then we hear what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given to you. Unfortunately, you and I don't have to look all that hard to see that in many ways we're being conformed to the pattern of this world than that Coke bottle. And what's more, it's been going on for us since, well, we were actually quite small. Did you realize, I love that picture, did you realize that most people in our country, I've actually seen studies on this, spend around 80% of their non-working, non-sleeping time where? In front of a screen. TV, computer, movie, video, or the many other that are out there. You simply can't spend that much time in front of that and not be affected by some of the slogans of old. These go back a ways. You know, have it your way. You deserve a break today, or just do it. The values of many in our world are shaped by, well, if it feels good, just do it approach to life. Our minds can easily be grabbed by the, you know, I'm not sure if this is right or wrong, but it works for me, so do it. It's hard not to believe that manipulation and violence have become the primary means that people solve their problems. I think we can be much more in the shape of a Coke bottle than any of us might realize at first. Some time ago, I was watching a baseball game, and it started to rain, so I was a wimp. I made a quick retreat to the car instead of just dealing with getting wet. Well, as I opened the door to my car, the dent guard on the side of my car gently nudged the dent guard on the car next to mine. Our two cars were pretty tight together. It was a small parking lot. There was a woman sitting in the other car. Well, in the midst of the rain, she rolls down her window and yells out that I had bumped her car. Okay, well, by now, I'm pretty much in my car, shutting the door because it's starting to rain pretty hard. Then she did something that, at the time, surprised me. In the middle of a downpour, she comes out of her car, walks over, opens my driver's door, and yells in at me that I had hit her car and I had done it intentionally, and then slammed the door shut. The first thing that went through my mind was that she's gone mad. But you know, I had some time to think about that. What stress had so affected her life that she exploded over a small thing? What issues were sucking the joy out of her life? I had no idea what was going on in her life. What pressure was she facing? Have we ever overreacted to a fairly small thing that's happening in our life? Sure, I know I have a lot of times. We give in to that temptation to simply blow our stack and attack whatever's within reach. But that's conforming to the pattern of a fallen, broken, dying world. Here's another example. Over the past 25 plus years, I've had the privilege and joy of leading many school chapel services for school-aged children. I remember from a message I presented quite a while back, I asked one of the kids, and this was when I was in Norfolk, Nebraska. There were about 300 kids in the chapel service, first through eighth grade, big school. I asked the kids, well, what is it that makes you sad? Something that can make you frown or that brings a tear to your eye. And I asked it of the younger ones, fourth grade and under, children 9, 8, 7, 6 years old. I tell you, they came up with a lot of answers. They started with simple things like falling down and getting hurt, to things like being yelled at by mom or dad, having a friend move away, trying so hard to do things right, but still messing up. Then it got deep. Someone that they love being sick or even dying. Someone making fun of you. Sitting back and watching as your parents fight or get divorced. Or getting caught in a fight or just not being able to do stuff right. That's Coke bottle time. When the world has conformed us to its pattern of doing things, that's when anger, bitterness, fear, hurt, grief, loneliness, and disappointment come bubbling to the top. Have you ever shed a tear? Have you ever spoken an angry word? Been hurt or hurt somebody else? Have you watched someone you love leave? Then you've been conformed to the Coke bottle. You see, we've been shaped from a very young age to look like the world. And that's the reality of the world that we live in. It's broken. It needs cleansed. It all reminds me of the parable of the wise and foolish builders from the book of Matthew. The foolish builders who conform themselves to the pattern of this world chose to build their house on sand. When people who live in the ways of this world face stress, turmoil, or something that just upsets their life, in other words, in the words of the parable, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, what happens? They crumble under the stress. It, that house, fell with a great crash. I don't want to be there, crashing and burning in our relationships with each other and with the Lord. But this is where it turns. It doesn't have to be that way. You see, there's something else that shapes our lives. We're not all stuck in the Coke bottle pattern. Instead, it's the cross, the rock that we build our lives upon. The rain came down and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. So even as the text from Romans today warns us not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, it's talking to you and to me as people who have received God's mercy and people who have been given gifts out of God's grace. Conformed, yes, but also being transformed. And it all starts for us at the cross and at Easter morning's empty tomb. Because there in Jesus' death and his resurrection, Jesus is conformed to God's will. It was God's will, his good, perfect, and pleasing will, that his only Son would give his life for you and for me. What was good was Jesus forgiving us. Forgiveness for those whose lives have looked too much like that Coke bottle and the values we see on the screens we watch. What was pleasing was Jesus suffering the anger of God himself over the big problem of our brokenness and sinfulness, restoring to us the joy of his salvation. What was perfect was Jesus' willingness to bear all of our griefs and pains, to bring us into his family, to be transformed into his likeness. God's pleasing, good, and perfect will is shaped in the pattern of a cross because forgiveness, joy, and life come from there to us. Starts at the baptismal font. Water, God's word, forgiveness, family of God, transformation by our Savior. We've been shaped from a young age to look like Jesus. And it doesn't quit. It's still happening. Any time spent with Jesus is time being transformed. When we come here as an extended family to worship, Jesus is here at work in each of our lives. When we share his word, God is at work through his Spirit to change lives. When we dig into the Bible together, be it in a Bible class, a children's church, or on our own at home, Jesus is at work changing our lives. We're following the words from Deuteronomy. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. When we gather here at the Lord's table to receive his supper, God works changing our lives. Yes, time with Jesus in his church, and I'm not talking so much about the building, but as God's people, reshapes us in the form of the cross. And I saw how true it was at that chapel I mentioned from, this is probably about 15 years ago now. After asking the kids what made them sad, I then asked them a second question. So what makes you happy, especially here with as God's people in church? What is there that brings a smile to your face? Then I've taken these small post-it notes and put two dots and a little rip on the bottom, happy face on it. And I said, okay, kids, you get to put this little happy face on whatever it is that transforms your life from sadness to joy. And as you might expect, they were ready to do that. They were fantastic. There were hands like, oh, Pastor, call on me. I couldn't call on everybody, though. And the smiles were wonderful. So where did they put all those smiley faces? Well, on a teacher, on a pastor's shiny forehead, on a mom who was seated in back that morning. These were people who had brought Jesus to little ones. And the kids knew how special it was. Then I kind of set them loose. They went for the cross, the altar, the baptismal font. In that particular church building, the stained glass windows on the side that shared the life of Jesus. Once again, whatever reminded them of Jesus was chosen for a smiley face. That was a fun time. When we talked about our Lord transforming sadness into happy ones. And the difference was Jesus. His cross transforms. His cross shapes us into his people and his family. He renews us with his mercy and grace. We no longer conform to the pattern of this world, but we spend time with Jesus in his word, in worship, at the Lord's Supper, and we are transformed by a cross and an empty tomb. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith of our Lord Jesus. Amen.